Hey, if you're looking for more action on the road, check out what Cutting Audio's got. Deathlands. Outlanders. The Executioner. Stony Man. We're loaded for bear. Available at road stops everywhere or at www.cuttingaudio.com.
A 100 years ago, a rain of nuclear bombs obliterated civilization in a few minutes of blazing horror. It was the end of the world. Doomsday, sky dark. With the first nuclear explosion, the tissue-thin tapestry of civilization was ripped apart. The rule of law was replaced overnight with the somber, draconian edict of survival of the fittest. Cannibals hunted prey. Cold hearts brutally raided farms, and slavers seized anybody they could as chattel. Electricity was seldom seen, starvation universal, rape a daily event, death the only known means of escape. This is America in the late 21st century. Welcome to the Deathlands. Cutting Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, and David Elias. Deathlands 48, Dark Reckoning. The howling alarms faded into blessed silence, and the ceiling lights of the redoubt flickered into life, as bright and strong as ever. Almost immediately, the seven bodies on the floor began to stir sluggishly. As the burning waves of pain throughout his body slowly subsided, Ryan Cotter opened his good eye and pulled a ragged breath into his aching lungs.
Fire blast.
His cramped muscles relaxing for the first time since he had entered the underground base. Never had the man encountered anything like this before. His skin had felt as if it were on fire, with flesh-eating ants digging inside his skull. A hot slug of lead in his gut would have been sweet relief compared to what he had just gone through for the past... how long? His mind was foggy about the passage of time, the endless searing pain blurring each hour into the next. Days? Months? He had no idea. A rumble shook his belly, and a sour belch rose in his throat. Ryan was starving. So it had to have been quite a while. Those blue-shirt sectmen were going to pay for this, even if it took his last drop of blood. He'd chill every one of them. Almost without thought, Ryan ran his hands over his clothing in an old ritual. The 9mm Sig Sauer pistol was still at his hip, the curved panga in its sheath. The ammo pouch was flat and empty, and he couldn't locate his Steyr SSG-70 sniper rifle anywhere on the nearby floor. Had he dropped it outside? That would mean that the microwaves from the kite satellite would have melted it into a puddle of useless steel by now. Trying to rise, Ryan fumbled and slumped onto the cool floor beside a huge metal pump of some kind. The machine beat as steady as a human heart, performing some task involved in maintaining the nuclear reactors of the military redoubt. The rad shielding around the subterranean base was the only thing that gave the companions some small amount of protection from the searing microwaves of the orbiting kite. And going to the very lowest level of the redoubt had helped even more. But the sensation of being burned alive had only lessened, had never stopped, and eventually increased to where the one-eyed man felt as if he were being stabbed with 1,000 needles, then red-hot knives. The agony robbed him of strength until there was nothing else to do but pass out, only to awaken hours later to the continuing bombardment. Long minutes passed with only the sound of labored breathing breaking the silence of the basement. Gathering his strength once more, Ryan tried to force himself off the floor, and this time he succeeded. Struggling to his knees, the one-eyed man tried to focus on his friends, but was having some degree of difficulty doing so. Ryan realized he had to have taken more damage from the microwaves than he originally thought. Another score to settle with the blues. Brushing back his wild crop of long black hair, Ryan noticed how shaky his hands were, the tanned skin red and irritated, as if badly sunburned. He had spent 1,000 days in the deserts of Deathlands, but never got burned like this. For a fleeting moment, he worried about cancer, then dismissed the problem. There was nothing he could do about it, so he turned his attention to other, more solvable matters. Catching his breath, the Deathlands warrior soon felt better. The odd trembling stopped, and he was able to focus his vision without trouble. The rest of the companions were scattered on the floor. Although their clothes were soaked with sweat, everybody seemed okay, each breathing without trouble and starting to move feebly. The low moans and curses were music to his ears. As the trader always said, only the living bitched. The dead never complained about anything. Sprawled in the center of the friends was a beautiful redhead, her clothes in disarray and laying frightfully still. Christy Roth usually healed faster than any of the others, including Ryan. But as the rest of the companions started to sit upright, she remained unconscious.
"Hey, Mildred."
Ryan was surprised to find his throat was sore. He had to have been screaming for a while. The thought didn't bother him. Anybody who didn't yell when being roasted alive wasn't tough. He was merely insane.
"Here."
Her long, beaded plaits dangling limply around her face, Dr. Mildred Wyeth clumsily fumbled to tug free a couple of buttons on her army fatigues to wave fresh air into her stained clothing. She sighed in relief as her bra came into view, then again as she rubbed a hand over her chest, wiping off the sweat. Aside from the sodden fatigues, the physician wore a gun belt with an empty holster at her hip. Nearby was her checkmate ZKR target pistol. Mildred massaged her temples to ease the throbbing headache.
"Sweet Jesus. Feel like I've been dipped in acid. How long?"
Ryan could only shake his head in reply. His strength was returning fast, but he was a long way from normal yet.
"Don't know how long. Days, probably. Could be more, from the feeling in my gut."
Her own stomach rumbled in harmony.
"Know what you mean. I could eat a Hummer right about now, tires and all."
"Hell yeah."
The wiry man who spoke held his head in both hands, as if afraid it was going to break into pieces.
"I haven't felt this bad since poison back in New California."
An Uzi submachine gun hung on a sling over the man's shoulder, an M4000 scatter gun partially hidden under a leg.
"How you doing, John?"
By sheer effort of will, J.B. Dix yanked the shotgun from underneath his ass and managed a brief smile.
"Not dead yet, Millie."
J.B. placed the weapon aside. Fumbling in the pocket of his battered leather jacket, he unearthed a pair of wire-rimmed glasses. Setting them carefully on his face, J.B. frowned.
"Black dust, they're warped."
He started trying to straighten the bent frames. Ryan stood wearily. His boots felt strangely loose, as if he'd lost some weight.
"Go check on Christy. She's not awake yet."
Nodding, Mildred crawled over to the supine redhead and placed two fingers on her exposed throat. Rasping for air, Christy's chest rose and fell regularly, but her pulse was very weak. A trickle of dried blood marred a cheek from where Christy had bitten a lip, and her nails were badly cracked from clawing at the floor. Worse, her usually animated hair lay limply on the cold concrete floor as if it were dead. Mildred knew the filaments were more sensitive to pain than norm hair, and especially sensitive to fire damage. The microwave bombardment had to have been a living hell for Christy. Thankfully, the redhead wasn't wearing her heavy bearskin coat. The feverish woman might have literally cooked to death wrapped inside the thick garment. However, A Smith & Wesson 38 revolver jutted from Christie's gun belt, the hammer still cocked for firing. Gingerly removing the blaster, Mildred eased down the hammer and placed the weapon on the cool concrete. Thank God the ammo hadn't ignited from the microwave.